Hi, this is Trish Stratus from the WWE, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction's guaranteed.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
We are live on Facebook right now. It's the Pain Clinic. Let me get my cheat sheet out here. We got the whole gang. Danger and I are in space. Everybody else is someplace else. But welcome to the Pain Clinic for December 4th. Holidays today. It's Santa's List Day and Wear Brown Shoes Day. Whatever that means. Excuse me. Former WWE superstar. Birthdays today. Former WWE superstar from the Ascension wrestler Victor is 41 today, and former TNA valet, Miss Tessmacher, I think we knew her better as Brooke Adams, she's 37 today. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Join Salvatore's at the garage door for UFC 269, that's December 11th, 1 week from today, 269. Prelims start at 8 p.m., pay-per-view starts at 10 p.m. As always, there is no cover charge. You definitely want to come out and check it out. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater, officiate, coach possibly? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's the Flower City Fear, Flower, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. And I don't know if you guys saw this week, but I've been added to the coaches for Rock City Roller Derby for the next season. So I'm going to be, I don't know if I'm going to be coaching or announcing or doing both, but I'm also skating with a men's team, the Flower City Fear. So I don't have a lot of free time, but this is number one in my heart, what we're doing right now. So thank you guys. If anybody's out there right now, we're on Facebook Live, got 10 or 11 people in there right now. And we want to, you know, and please join us, like Dan and Richard, both those guys are out there. And thank you so much. We're here to talk about the world of wrestling, pro wrestling. I'm the Cash Man, your humble host. I'm joined by the artiste, parts unknown Rochester, someplace. How's it going this morning, Mr. Artiste, Rob Sanderson?
Good morning. It's been a week, so yesterday was very interesting. I don't even know if there's going to be a wrestling show a week from today. Got my coffee going this morning for sure.
All right.
Hello.
Hello. Very vague booking there with your statement. Maybe we'll come around back to it.
That's fine.
DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. DC, how you doing this morning? It's nice to have you back. We missed you last week. And by the way, happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. And, I appreciated the shout out, and I'd like to report that my finger is back to full health.
Regular color.
Is it?
I think so.
It looks a little.
It's good.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah.
All right, and we've got Furby from Gates, New York, Hilton, New York, sorry, Furby. Yeah. Gates guy just disappeared. I don't know where he went to, but Furb, what's happening this morning? How you doing?
Not much, but people in the chat might want to check your spell check next time.
Well, I think that was intentional, buddy. I think that was intentional.
How's it going, everybody?
Yeah,
I'm good.
So, good morning, everybody. Definitely beware the autocorrect, too. But I think that was intentional. Nevertheless, Danger Boy's here someplace, too. He was. We never really talked to him since he joined, and now he's gone. So we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. And you guys can chime in if you're in the chat room there. I see there's a bunch of people floating around the chat room, Brian and Pat. Brian, good morning, Brian. How you doing? Happy, look at you. Happy belated birthday to you, DC. DC, you were in the happiest place on the planet last week at this time.
I was.
Yeah. Was that your first time there?
Oh, no. Oh,
okay.
No. You know, went there several times as a kid on family vacations, and me and my wife have kind of turned that into our Thanksgiving tradition since moving down south.
Oh, so you, was it crowded? How was the
time? Oh, my God, was it? There were so many people.
So many people wanted to be happy.
I mean, me too.
Yeah.
I can't blame them.
I honestly want to go down for the new Star Wars exhibit. I've been thinking about that for a while. Did you get a chance?
We woke up extra early to go, as they say, rope drop that. So, yeah.
That was good then, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And you saw my lightsaber, right?
I do. You should bust it out while we're doing this.
Do you want me to break it out?
Yeah, break it out, man.
All right. You keep doing your thing. Let's get it set up.
Okay. DC got a lightsaber. And I mean, we're not just talking, you know, like the one you get for $20 at the events at the Blue Cross Arena or anything. He got like a full blasted, blown, you know, Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, whatever, Scott, nice, very nice looking one. So he'll bust it out in a second. If you're on Facebook Live with us right now, he'll bust it out here in a second. But we're, you know, anybody, if you guys have anything on Facebook Live on the chat room you want to mention or have us plug, we definitely will talk about whatever we can. There's been a lot of stuff that happened this week, and I don't know where we really. Hey, Mr. Ortiz, and for both of you guys went to ESW in Buffalo or in Niagara Falls last weekend. Talk a little bit about that show. It looked like a pretty cool show. I'm kind of bumming I couldn't go.
Yeah, I loved it. It was a great show. I was a little surprised with the result of the six-man tournament cup. Seeing Vince Valor win, that was a good match, though. But the main event definitely stole the show. Kevin Blackwood and Daniel Garcia. What a moment. What a wrestling match. What a technical wrestling match. Reminded me, you know, similar to Wheeler Yuta and Daniel Garcia in New Jersey that I was at. Wasn't an hour this time, but one heck of a match.
30 minutes and 30 seconds was this one, bell to bell. I will say that match was easily one of my favorite matches to ever call. It was unbelievable. Expected it to be good, but it blew my expectations out of the water. Show overall was really good. I mean, it was nice to be back on the play-by-play there. The show is on IWTV. On the archives, so if you want to check it out, code Empire State will let you in for free to watch it. I thought it was a really good show. The crowd was good, except for an awkward moment before the main event with the crowd, but won't get into that. Things you don't need to chant at a wrestling show that are political. It was good.
Come on.
There were a few things in the crowd over by my section which were a little, I thought, was a little inappropriate, but
where were you sitting? Because I didn't even end up seeing you.
I was up against the wall by the hard cam.
So right near the broadcast table.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say the broadcast table. I saw the picture from the broadcast table. You had to be right next to him.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, it was a great show. You got to see Daniel Garcia here in town. I mean, who knows when we'll get to see him locally again, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's that awkward pause where I have to think about what I can actually say.
Yeah.
Had held that ESW heavyweight title for 882 days, but obviously is in this point now where his independent bookings are going to go, they're going to decrease. I'm not saying they're going away, but it's going to be, it's going to be less and less. And obviously as his stock continues to rise, and I think nobody expected that result really. Cause if we're being honest, like this is an independent wrestling company in the Buffalo Niagara region, and Kevin Blackwood, also a Buffalo native, but he just moved out to California in the last couple of months. So nobody really expected him to win the belt, to be honest, because he does have to fly in to defend it now across the country. He's not really local currently. So
I guess I was one of the ones that thought it was going to happen. That's kind of the result that I expected, actually. I thought it was time for a changing of the guards, and it created for a fantastic moment. And I just got to shout out ESW again for good storytelling, running the whole Kevin Bennett angle all the way up, you know, from Anthony Gaines through, you know, Vinnie Moon, and then now calling out Kevin Blackwood at the very end, before everybody got up and left. Just kudos. I thought it was very, very well done.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really good show. Josh Alexander, Matthew Ray Waltz, the list goes on. I really like the women's match.
Wish I got to see Ray Walt in a little bit longer in the ring, to be honest. Just got to say, I don't know what was going on with the clock, but it was either really slow in the beginning or really fast throughout the rest of the match.
Yeah, there was that clock, and then there was also the clock on the wall that fell down right in the front of the broadcast booth, too. No. I didn't know what it was at first. I thought somebody in the crowd had, like, thrown something because – again, some of the people in that area in the crowd, who knows what they do or would do. But yeah, overall was good. As of right now, the next show is not until March. Obviously, usually ESW is a little slower in the winter and stuff, but that could change. But yeah, congrats to Kevin Blackwood. I mean, there's so much hype out there on Garcia, rightfully so. Blackwood, obviously, he just wrestled Lee Moriarty now 2 weeks ago at PWG. He's picking up his stock quite a bit. He's going to be probably the next Western New Yorker that we're talking about making it big, to be honest. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, he got Punk on Dynamite on Wednesday night. So Lee Moriarty there. So yeah. I will say Daniel Garcia, attacking Chris Jericho with the guys and, building up this big angle obviously Jericho's in Europe with his band, so they had to find some way to write him off for a while, but it's like this kid.
Well, no, I mean, he had to go see a doctor in London. I figure that's how it works, right?
Yeah, something like that. So,
something about the state of healthcare here, so I don't know.
Yeah. So nevertheless, it's building up a big return for those guys, which is really cool. But yeah, so you guys got to see, those close encounters with some guys we'll be seeing on TV every week, which is really pretty cool. And they did come to Rochester 2 years ago. Or it was like, was it?
February something, right before the pandemic hit. That was when Orange Cassidy came.
That's right. And it was ESW. And I can't even remember who was on that show besides, a lot of local guys. That's really pretty cool that we get to, our little, and you, as Mr. Ortiz explains, it's going to be busy here the next couple of weeks because got a lot of things in the, Western New York going on as well. The guys, the Christmas and New Year's are on Saturdays, it's going to kind of hurt us doing the show those days. So we're going to probably maybe do them Friday. I'm guessing Friday night sometime. And that hopefully, that won't, affect too many of the listeners, but we'll let you know well in advance. But also you've got
we'll do a live watch along of Monday Night Raw instead.
No. But you're going to be, you got the ETID coming up too in a couple of weeks. So
next weekend.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's right. It's right. The 11th. I'm going to be in Buffalo. You're going to be in Buffalo. Maybe I don't know. So
if the show still happens.
Oh, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Band's imploding right now. So
you are kidding me.
No. No, there's a lot. This is a wrestling show, but yeah, there's a whole lot out there on Twitter and stuff. And they've been a band for 23 years. And now there's literally some people who think that this is a wrestling angle to set up for the wrestling show at the Christmas show. Because the whole thing is basically that the singer overheard his brother, who is a guitarist in the band, say that they were trying to replace him and everything blew up. Uh-oh. So they canceled their shows this weekend.
Oh no.
Said they're focused on next weekend. There's supposed to be a wrestling show at that a week from today.
Riverworks.
I talked, with the Blade about that a little bit after ESW as well. And I know a little bit of what's supposed to happen, but I don't know. It feels like the indie wrestling world a little bit right now, to be honest.
Oh, my goodness.
It's more of a music thing. But
Had your number one album of the year, on your rankings.
That's true.
That came out last year. So, and it was very late towards, you know, it wasn't like the whole year. It was, you know, towards the second, you know, the end of the year that the album came out. So
you still have Twitches though, right?
And they had an album come out this year.
Yeah. So. In fact, my buddy Chris, who I do my roller derby show with, went and saw them in Pittsburgh 2 weekends ago. Yeah. Nice. He said, she said, you know, man, new song. That's like their big tune, you know?
Wow.
See, I'm impressed.
Look at this reference here this morning.
We are so
like
spin off
music
it.
Show. I like it. Yeah.
Chiverches. Yeah. And Purvis.
No. I don't know if the, what do you call Paris? Purvis? Or whatever. Like,
Purvis?
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to make the top 10 or not this year, too, but they had an album come out as well.
They did. So, yeah. Okay. So, man, well, there's some
the
drama.
Pavain Clinic.
We'll put a B in there. Pavain Clinic.
Nobody knows what we're talking about at all.
No, it's a band. Okay. Well, you know what? I guess we'll have an update next week before if the show is going to happen or not and whatnot. So, but we got to get
into. I hope there's an update.
Yeah. Because
that'll be like 2 or 3 hours before maybe I'm supposed to call something. Oh, well, we'll see.
Well, who knows?
Maybe just let me know if I have to show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. This is pretty big deal. This is not, you know, this is.
The one final thing I'll say about this is also like in a situation where the other guitarist is the Butcher. Andy Williams, who is waiting for this. Hold on. He's waiting for this tour to end to address his injury from Dynamite from the match with Ishii. But now they're like not on tour. So if I'm him, I'm sitting like, well, do I get the surgery? Do I get the surgery now? Or do I like, what do I do?
Yeah.
Like, are we going to have to play a show? Like, am I going to be managing at a wrestling show next weekend? I can't imagine what's going through his head, but yeah.
Probably, you know,
sometimes.
Not to be confused with the Fly Me to the Moon, Andy Williams, you know, or.
Yes, correct. That was another topic this week that threw me off guard.
And he's been
work meeting. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been dead for 10 years too. So it's like,
yeah, they look a little bit different, yeah. Just a tad.
So let's talk about the world of pro wrestling. We had a crazy week this past week, this weekend. Before I get too far, we've got a few things to talk about. We've got War Games for NXT 2.0 being Sunday night. And if you follow closely with, as an MLW, no, NWA Hard Times 2 is going on this weekend, too. That's tonight, in fact. Hard Times 2, which is we get Trevor Murdoch versus Mike Knox for the – and by the way, Trevor Murdoch looks more like Mike Knox than he ever looked like Trevor Murdoch. That's for sure. In the WWE with that, he's got the full beard growth and whatnot. But those are some things that we can talk about. I'm looking at some of the chats in here. Outlaw Mud Show was a sign at Dynamite this week. What's the significance of that? Because apparently it caused quite the clutter online. Someone had a sign. We saw it in the background. It said Outlaw Mud Show.
It's a favorite phrase of one guy that used to be relevant in the wrestling business and
Jim
now
Cornette.
Clings on through his podcast and doesn't know what people like these days. And yeah. Not sure how he didn't really get canceled and stuff too, but you know, James E. Cornette.
James E. Cornette too.
Not a fan.
No. Well, he had it was a big topic with him was the Outlaw Mud Show. Thanks, Dante, for the mention there. It's been a big to do. He said on the Cornette fandom groups. Okay, well, you know, we won't go into other people's shows or other people's. And to groups and stuff, but Cornette is still very, you know, he's very on top of everything that's happening in this business and gives his opinion freely online.
You see, that's a crazy thing. Maybe this is hypocritical of me because like we're talking wrestling and I don't watch Monday Night Raw, but like Jim Cornette watches everything and does a podcast going hours talking about everything in wrestling, but he doesn't like any of it. Like, you have, I don't know, probably $5 million. You're sitting at home, like retirement age or whatever. Like, just relax. Like, why are you spending 30 hours a week watching stuff that you don't enjoy to then spend another 30 hours talking about it on a podcast just to be an expert who used to be a manager who now just hates everything AEW's ever done, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. He literally, like, I hear him praise FTR and then he just hates everybody else.
He likes Daniel Bryan too. I think he likes some of the stuff that he's doing. And, you know, but I try not to buy.
If anybody doesn't like what Bryan Danielson is doing right now.
Oops, sorry.
That's a problem.
We still doing the garlic bread jar?
Yeah, apparently yeah.
There's got to be like garlic a stack bread. Of garlic bread right now. Ready to go. Get some marinara out.
So, well, why don't we just start, you know, we'll make people happy who are in the chat room and talk a little bit of WWE to begin the show. And there was, okay, we did talk a little bit last week about it too. I know, you know, it'll get quiet.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Oh, why is my mute button hitting itself?
So we might get a little quiet from the Parts Unknown Rochester where the Rob Sanderson, the artiste, is at. But I wanted to just talk a little bit about how last week, one of the big things we talked about was CM Punk and MJF using The Miz as a kind of a put-down during their promos. And so then we had a couple promos this past week on Monday Night Raw that kind of put some more reality. I think what's going on right now is we're having a little bit of forced reality into wrestling just because people, you know, I think people get off on it, you know, on, you know, it's like on the internet wrestling fans, you know, get off when, you know, things are brought up. And, you know, and the rule always was the WWE would never talk about anybody else. So then Edge comes out this past week, cuts a promo. Miz comes out with Maurice. Maurice, sorry, not Maurice. That's a dude.
What?
and comes out and says that, you know, and says, you know, you didn't mention my name when you're looking for contenders. And then he says, well, you know, your kind of name was used as a joke on another show or whatever. And so it was a little bit of something that, you know, usually you would never expect to hear on WWE TV of a mentioning of something else, you know, because they're so inclusive in their world that they don't, you know, they're myopic, you know, there's nothing that they see outside of what they're doing because they don't feel there's any competition and they don't feel that anybody is doing what they're doing except for when their numbers are so terribly low that another company could come in and start taking pieces of their audience are sharing it with them. So, but we had that, and we also had Liv Morgan talking about Becky Lynch's exorbitant contract that entailed half of her friends to get fired from WWE, which you never hear them talk about cuts either, ever, really. And I thought that was interesting that those two promos were like kind of lit the internet wrestling fans on fire as well as Twitter after them. And I was really surprised that, you know, and then I found out that, you know, when I was doing some research for the show this week that Edge is kind of given a carte blanche to whenever he's cutting a promo, they give him, you know, I mean, like the old school style of doing it where they give him an outline and he just works his way toward the point he's going towards. And so I'm sure him bringing up another show or, you know, and stuff like that may have been something he did, you know, off the cuff without it being written down. But I thought that was really interesting. Ferbs, you got some thoughts on that? You know, it's like I think, you know, we all kind of – I marked a little bit. I'll be honest, because you never have – WWE never, you know, mentions anybody else on this planet but themselves because they think they're the only thing there.
Yeah, so to me, I felt two different ways about both promos. The Edge one definitely felt heck of a lot more forced. The way that he was talking about the you know, Morrison leaving and everything, it just actually the back and forth between Edge and Miz was kind of awkward. It didn't really feel natural. So for it to be Edge's own words, you know, it was kind of strange. As far as Liv Morgan's, I actually liked hers better because I liked the delivery of it. It made it feel real, even if it wasn't her words. Because, I mean, she's right. Those are two of her best friends. I mean, if she did lose them, obviously it's not because of Becky's contract.
No.
Most likely. But that's what brings that passion into an actual feud. So I really, really liked that. But other than that, like, yeah, I mean, I thought it was a little bit of sourness to talk about the cuts like that. But again, from both sides, you know, one I felt was a little bit more not necessary. Liv Morgan's I thought was better done.
DC, you get a chance to watch that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like Furby said, I liked Liv's delivery more, but that was, you know, that wasn't her. That was a total Vince McMahon thing, which, fine, if you want to play devil's advocate, go ahead. Because, you're just speaking what everybody's thinking.
Which, in my opinion, it's almost kind of better because she did what she was told and she did it right. And she
made it right.
And she made it sound good. The fact that what Edge did, if he does have that creative freedom, it just kind of sounded lame.
Yeah, the Edge one sounded lame and forced, like you were saying. But then if you think about it too, think about both promos, be it the Edge and Miz or the MJF and CM Punk. You know, what CM Punk and MJF were doing was actually highlighting some positives about WWE subtly to put each other down. Whereas WWE or Edge, whoever, reacted to it and used what happened on another show to bring themselves down.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, it's so, you know, oh, you called it out, way to be clever, but you made yourself look worse. To me, it didn't make much sense.
No, and to me, the WWE, like I said, they don't believe there's anybody else out there, you know, at least on the product they present on TV. They don't believe that anything, there's no other products that's competing with them. So now they throw the big question mark out there by doing that. It's like these kids are going, what are they talking about? You know, I mean, well, you know, and so, and then that's going to create some more interest in maybe what, you know, in AEW, or, you know, have them searching out what they're talking about, because, you know, they're so myopic when it comes to the product they're putting out.
But recently, I find it very funny that Edge uses the phrase living rent-free in their heads, when clearly that's what's happening in WWE right now. AEW is living rent-free in all of their heads right now, and they don't know how to handle it.
That's but so just, true.
Also, just to add on to it in a different way, how we were mentioning how, you know, they're always all in their own world. As of recent, of the last couple of months and stuff, a lot of these WWE talent are getting questions and interviews and stuff, and there is being stuff brought up about AEW. Like Big E mentioned it, you know, this is what makes us want to bring out our A game, you know, have our best matches. So they are, I mean, they are realizing the competition, that's for sure, especially at the talent level.
Well, they were talking about crossovers in some of these interviews you're talking about. They said, you know, could we ever do a crossover? And Big E said it would be the biggest thing on the planet. There's a lot of, I mean, they're allowed to do, I think, when it's not on their product on nationwide TV, they're allowed to address anything, I think, you know. Yeah. In the past, we would be doing interviews with WWE superstars, and there would be someone on the phone with us. And if we started going in that direction, you'd hear something like that on the phone, and it'd be like, uh-oh, we better not go there, you know, because they were so controlling in what they, you know, what they allowed their talents to talk about, you know. But I think it's a new world. I mean, it's interesting that Vince McMahon may have been the one who like forced that line into Liv Morgan's ear, or into the script. But it's like, you know, I think it's a new openness. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a glasnost for the wrestling world. You know, I'm going back. Sorry, look it up, folks. Glasnost. Okay, but Poland. It's all back in '80. So, but so yeah, that. I just was, you know, I think that, you know, and it was just kind of a throwaway line, you know. I think it was, you know, with Edge, and it's interesting that Edge is coming out and looking for an opponent and then starts throwing names out there with, like, no intent of anybody, but The Miz, of course, addresses it. Definitely makes obviously you see the angle, the direction they're going in, but it's like, you know, I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing.
I love it, honestly, because at a time when Edge was most prominent in the WWE back before he first retired, I mean, did we really ever see Miz versus Edge? I mean,
well, remember Edge was a curtain jerker at the WrestleMania that the Miz defended his title against John Cena. So
exactly.
They talked about it.
Right. And that's, I love that, you know, bring up, that just adds extra heat to the fire. But I mean, for two guys who've been in WWE that long to get, you know, maybe, you know, they had a few one-offs and that meant nothing, but to get like an actual prominent feud between two guys who are that veteran status on the roster, like, that's fresh. That's new. That's something that, you know, that might, people might want to see.
Yeah. I will say one other thing about Raw this past week. They had a 3-on-3 women's match, and I'm not sure if there's any other women in the company besides those six on six.
It was 5-on-5.
5-on-5, sorry. But I don't think there's any other women in the company. You know, it's like I'm trying to think, you know, this is a good time in which Nia Jax would be out there.
I'm pretty sure that was the entire women's roster on Raw.
Yeah, so it's like,
besides. Was Dana Brooke in the match?
Yeah, Dana Brooke was in the match, too. I mean, Becky Lynch was in the match. She's the champ, and she was in the match. So it's like I'm watching that, and I'm going, wow, there must be no other women that they could have thrown in there. So, you know, and I guess if you saw SmackDown last night, you know that Sonya is going to be wrestling. It's interesting, too. WWE this past week decided to put out what the main matches that are going to be on their shows next week. Kind of like another company has been doing for the last few weeks, which is helped them actually with certain numbers, you know. And I thought that it was interesting. Now we're getting Sonya and
Naomi.
Yeah, and they're going to be wrestling. I just found it very interesting that they have like a list of matches now that are going to be on TV this week. And usually I highlight them and then talk about them. You know, we got Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan next Monday on Raw. Champ Big E versus Kevin Owens in a non-title steel cage match, which I'm not really sure why you would do that. I guess maybe if it's for after TV's off, I don't know. And The Miz is going to be welcomes Hall of Famer Edge to Miz TV, whatever. And then, but on SmackDown, you get Xia Li making her SmackDown debut, which I kind of dig the different direction that she's in. You know, more of a. I like the character they're creating. Sonya Deville, of course, going against Naomi. Jeff Hardy and Drew McIntyre. Happy Corbin. Madcap Moss. Whatever. The Laughing Hyena. And Lesnar is going to. Yeah. And Lesnar, of course. We saw Lesnar start the show up. When do you ever see Lesnar start a show up with a promo like we did on SmackDown last night?
Him and Sammy were hilarious. I loved it.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out. I was thinking to myself, oh, Sammy's going to win the title, and then we're going to get Sammy's going to lay down for Brock Lesnar. But Brock Lesnar decided to destroy him last night. And it's before Roman Reigns ever came out, so that, so he could just kind of push Sammy aside. So, you know, but I Brock Lesnar doesn't like working with everybody. So it's like I was pretty surprised that he got to work with Sami Zayn.
Well, he does love working with small guys with good work rate that he respects. I mean, we've seen it with Bryan Danielson. We've seen it with Finn Balor. We've seen it with AJ Styles. Maybe Sami Zayn's in that, you know, upper tier to him.
Well, Sami Zayn, I mean, for some reason, everyone got cut, and he's still around, and he doesn't even wrestle half the time, so power to him, you know. But I like Sami Zayn a lot. It's like,
are you talking Sammy or Brock?
I'm talking Sammy, you know. I mean, Brock, on the other hand, you're correct about that as well. So let's talk about some other stuff, and maybe the artiste will join us in when we talk about this. We had AEW this past week, and we got a special match to end the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, we got a special match to end the show on Dynamite this past week. It was a flaming table match. It was more than flaming table. Atlanta Street Fight, but it ended up, you know, being finished with a flaming table at the very end. Interesting show this past week on Dynamite. A couple things that stood out to me. One, Sting. Changing his face makeup to be more like his partner, you know, which I thought is pretty cool. Actually, it's kind of surprised me. He came out, you know, I don't know if that's something permanent or not.
He did. I don't think it's going to be permanent. He did it once before where he did the split Sting, split Darby.
Yeah.
I think it might've been in his first match back. Cause he's got a wrestling figure for it. So
really
it's okay. A big deal,
but I thought it was
Walmart exclusive.
That's right. So we got that in the show. We got Daniel Bryan starts the show this past week in Russell's. Bryan Danielson. And then we got CM Punk following that up, wrestling Lee Moriarty, which we mentioned earlier on the show as well. Another local guy here. And to me, it's like, and I know this is probably just me being critical, but it seems like a lot of these new acquisitions are getting a little bit more. They're like being put out in front of us right to begin the show. And I don't know if it's just because Bryan Danielson, I didn't say it completely. Bryan Danielson is just in a hot streak right now, and it's like, you know, he's got, obviously we're going to get him at Winter's Coming versus Paige for the championship in a couple, you know, what is that, a week, 2 weeks? No, hold on.
Week and a half.
It's like, it's a 2-day event. Of course, it's the Wednesday and Friday, but that, you know, you're sticking with that, but then we get CM Punk following him up. So to me, I almost, if you like were watching WWE maybe like a year ago, 2 years ago, well, actually 7 years ago with Punk on it, but it's like that's something you might have been able to see, you know, any of those guys working. But a lot of the newer guys are getting also like advertising pictures. We've talked about it before about how they're like trying to sell like future events with, like, you look at the roster and it's really not a lot of the original AEW people. And not that everybody's worked for everybody. So, you know, but I just found it interesting that they're starting with two guys who, you know, are fairly new to the company on the first hour on Dynamite. But it was great to see that. I like watching those guys wrestle every week. I think CM Punk needs to definitely be out there. I enjoy that, you know, his tay-to-tay whenever he gets a chance to get on the mic with MJF. But MJF, you know, comes out and complains that he struggles against Lee Moriarty and he struggles against other people, Darby Allin, you know. It's good
with Marshall.
Marshall too. Or Marshall, sorry, QT. We had him on the show. I said it right that time, I think, when he was on. But what'd you guys think about the Dynamite this week? Anything that stand out to you?
What stood out to me is that I felt it was a very inconsistent show. Definitely not one of their stronger ones. I felt like at a lot of times, you know, as critical as I've been of WWE, I have to be as equally critical of AEW. Honestly, I thought Dynamite this week was kind of a mess. I didn't know what was happening with certain stuff. I thought a lot of stuff was forced and awkward. You know, the CM Punk match was good, but then the interaction with MJF afterwards was so drawn out and was nowhere near the level of last week. So I felt like that kind of lost momentum there. The whole thing with Leo Rush and Team Taz was entirely awkward and felt out of place. I don't know what the hell they're trying to do with Cody, but I couldn't get into any of that match.
Even Arn Anderson,
honestly,
falling?
It wasn't. No. Even Arn Anderson falling again. But I mean, honestly, this week, I didn't come out of Dynamite, you know, as happy as I have been in previous episodes. I thought wrestling wise, Rampage was a much better show this week than AEW Dynamite was.
I'm going to piggyback off that and say that I still would take AEW over the other products, but this was my least favorite AEW week in a long time, if not total. And that includes Rampage. I didn't really care for Rampage that much last night because, again, I'm kind of sick of some of these feuds that are going on. We had the match with whatever order that was, like the Punk match and the Danielson match. Nice to see Lee Moriarty, you know, out there. And I thought Alan Angels looked really good, especially in the beginning of that match. Like, that was a big deal for him. I don't agree with the result of the women's match. I understand they're pushing Ruby and stuff, but I think they might be going too fast with her. Like, we'll have to see what happens with her in the tournament, but I don't think she has the same kind of crowd support that some of the other newcomers from another company have. And I think if they go too much with her, it's, the crowd's not going to go for it. So
did you see her lip thank you to when they got up after the match? You could see clear as day she said thank you to her as she was exiting the ring. So it was like
technically that's like a babyface match, that's fine. Yeah. Again, I'm over handshakes and all that stuff, but sure. I don't think it was a great show. And I like I said, Rampage, like all this FTR stuff and whatever mix of Andrade and Malakai Black and Cody and stuff. The biggest shame of this week is that there was a flaming table and Cody's ring jacket did not get burned. I can't look at that thing anymore. And obviously it was awkward because everybody noticed his back when he's like walking through the crowd. And it's like, what is that?
I am curious who goes to a wrestling show and throws out a bottle of glue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, wrestling fans, I guarantee you there's probably at least three or four wrestling fans at every like WWE show with just Elmer's glue and a spoon. Like that's just gotta be the way it goes. But, I don't know. I didn't love it this week. Hopefully they respond. I mean, I think Winter is Coming is going to be big, and this week coming up is going to be big for them to build that up. But one other random thing that doesn't matter, but kind of does. Billy Gunn has had some of the most iconic music in the history of wrestling. That Gun Club theme sucks.
Yeah, it is.
Please change that.
Generic.
Like, buy off one of his old themes because they were all great.
Yeah, interesting. What about Ferb's thoughts on Dynamite this week and Rampage as well?
Yeah, I don't really have any much different to say about Dynamite. I think Alan Angel steps up his game anytime he's got a big match. I mean, we've seen it a couple times with Omega, obviously with Danielson on Wednesday. I think he's one of the hidden gems in that company that going to be a while before he ever gets anywhere, but I could see him with a TNT strap at some point. He's a very, very good wrestler. And he the way that sometimes the Dark Order would make him look like a comedy act sometimes in the beginning kind of gives you like a soft spot in your heart for him. Just going to the main event, Rhodes, Andrade.
Arn Anderson falling down.
first of all, sorry, Arn, but that was hilarious. The second time he's fallen.
It's a good thing that there was whatever that was in that gap. Like, that could have been so much worse if that was just, like, all the way to the floor.
He looked like a turtle on his back. He was like,
here, let me help you up.
I know, he's, like, pretending to hit him while he's lifting and pulling him back up.
But the biggest distraction the whole match was whatever was on Cody's back. And then once I saw him start to pull up the table, and then Brandy came out, started lighting it up, I'm like, all right. That makes
once again,
sense.
Why does Brandy need to come out in a disguise?
Just get shoehorned in there.
Yeah.
Like, what is the point of her? Like, oh, it's me, the big reveal. Like,
well, we saw you 2 weeks
just
ago.
Walked in the ring. Yeah. Like,
I feel like that. To me, it just adds to the heel heat. Brandy, obviously,
she's enjoying it. I think she's enjoying it. You look at her Twitter online.
She loves it. She wants to be a heel. She doesn't want to be a baby face. Cody's like, oh no, you got to be the baby face. Brandy doesn't want that. She knows that. You know, that won't go over well, where Cody is obviously blind and doesn't realize that he should probably try to start do the same thing. So I don't know if that was a way to get there, but
I don't understand the logic of it, because if you're in Atlanta and maybe your hope is, all right, it's the hometown show, so at least we'll get cheers tonight, which it was very, very mixed in the beginning. But then like, okay, what can we do to make sure that the crowd really goes home liking Cody? Let's have Brandy come out, who nobody likes. The crowd hates her. Like, if your goal is to try to get Cody to be a baby face, that should never have happened. If you're trying to get him to finally turn heel, which I still don't think they're trying to do, then fine, have Brandy come out. But I don't get that. I don't know why that had to be the main event to, like, I just, obviously they did the flaming table spot and like, I get it at that point, but I was annoyed that that was the main event at first when we figured that out after the first two matches aired. And I just don't, can we please move on from some of these feuds? I don't care about him and Andrade anymore and stuff. And like the weird part about it, like everybody was talking online about how Andrade like barely got any of it on that suplex. Which is good, but like, had he landed actually on the flaming table, like face first like that,
yeah,
the way he was being flipped over, like that would have been a disaster. It was already kind of a disaster because Cody was still on fire going for the pinfall and stuff. Like, I just don't, to me, it's just one of those, like,
it was such a close call on Andrade's head. Like,
why would Cody Rhodes be somebody in using a flaming table? Like, it's just like, what else can I try to make people like me? Well, it's the most desperate looking thing that, like, it does not fit.
Was that more desperate, or him pulling out the sledgehammer and then the golden shovel?
I will quote Danger Boy. Cody coming out in wrestling tights was a big mistake for, you know, Atlanta street fight. He needed to come out in cowboy boots and jeans, you know, and like his dad would have, you know, and and he felt that was a big mistake. And I agree with him 100%. You know, it's like take a little bit of the wrestling out of this. This is a street fight. This is, you know, Atlanta GA, you know, I mean, you know, that the old Freebird song there, you know.
So, Cody Rhodes, if you're paying attention to the Pain Clinic live Facebook, maybe you should buy everybody some ice cream bars. Yeah. Work for Punk.
Well, he's in Chicago, too. I mean, really, where is Cody from? Is he from, you know, he was from Dotham, Alabama, as far as I knew, you know, but, you know, claims he, you know, grew up in Atlanta. And Atlanta's kind of fickle anyways, you know, they love you, they hate you. You know, Bill Goldberg was gold there, you know, and, you know, no, I know, but you still can't go back, you know, but, you know, nevertheless, that was the AEW. I will say one thing, too. Daniel Bryan, there's one thing I am enjoying about what they're doing. But Bryan Danielson going after now, after the Dark Order, one by one, gives a chance, one, highlights the Dark Order's roster every week and allows him to delay until he does have the Winter is Coming match with the champion. I'm so scared because his momentum is just so heavy right now and so good. It's like, and it's like you can't have Paige drop it on the first defense, you know. But you can't Daniel Bryan. I mean, can he lose and still look good? Sorry, Bryan Danielson. Honest,
I'm looking more forward to him versus Johnny Hungy than I am him versus Hangman.
I loved when
I agree.
Yeah, he was making fun of Hungy. I loved it. He was like, he was going through and ripping on him. That was hilarious, you know?
John Silver is going to be so over on Wednesday night in Long Island. Like, I can't wait to see that crowd.
Oh, that's right. And that's the place that the WWE was at last week or on Monday night. That the UBS Arena, the brand new place. So it'd be interesting. They both are there within a week of each other. Let's see what kind of crowds they draw, too. But yeah,
how was the Raw crowd? Because I know the ticket sales for that were pathetic. Yeah. And it was like the worst looking ticket sales for a Raw in a long time.
It was a real tight show. So they had everything really tight in close. So you can really see they couldn't see the stands too well.
There was one fan shot that showed so many open seats.
I mean, but they were just there anyways, you know, in that area, Brooklyn, you know. So it was like, you know.
Which the Monday after Survivor Series didn't do that hot either.
True. I mean, yeah, it's a post-COVID world, you know, so.
Well, all these companies that do that stuff, though, I feel like it's time to go away from the, like, we're going to run two or three or four shows in the same city in a week. Like, AEW is doing that with, like, the All Out stuff, and WWE does that, like, pay-per-view weekends and stuff. You're going to burn out a crowd. Like, you're not going to get a great reaction from them by night four. And most of these cities that they run in the US, like, you could very easily just travel to the next town down the road. Like, why do you need to do four shows in Chicago in a week when you could, like, take an hour trip to Milwaukee and run one of them there or whatever? I don't know.
Well, not only that, too. So take, for instance, what we have on the show today. We have 50% of the guys who don't watch Raw for free. So there's no way in hell I'm going to pay for a ticket, parking, food, you know, name it, to go see it live.
Right.
You got to have a product people want to see.
Especially if you're in like a major city, you got to deal with that traffic. Like, oh, like, let me drive through Chicago traffic 4 days in a row for wrestling and pay $20 to park it. No, I'll pick one to go to and I'm good.
I don't know. Yeah, no, that's true. And yeah, and that's a perfect example of like
and AEW already announced their return to Chicago again.
Why not? Yeah, they announced it when they were at Chicago, I thought, the last time. Yeah. So they're going to be all over the place. They're DC. They just announced DC in January. So we want to thank.
I thought you were talking to me for a second.
Well, you got that Saturday night special in your neck of the woods, DC.
I was going to say, I was very upset to see that they were running the Greensboro Coliseum, which is 15 minutes down the road from me, but I'll be back in New York that week. Oh. But then I was very happy to see that they'll be doing that Battle of the Belts in Charlotte on a Saturday night, which I will be going to. And then the following Wednesday, an hour down the road from me, they will be doing Dynamite and Rampage out in Raleigh. So,
oh, dope.
Making up for it.
Sure.
Got a lot. Yeah. Hopefully they sell some tickets, you know, just because.
At least they're kind of close to here again with Cleveland in what, January?
Yeah, I would have loved, I would have loved to go to that show, but I'll be just getting back from Hammerstein. So that's not happening.
Yeah,
that's right. That's
you guys want to go to Battle of the Belts? Let me know.
Battle of the Belts, come on down. It's a 11-hour drive, but you know what? It's not that bad.
It's an easy drive.
It is an easy drive, you know? You could almost automate it, you know? So
just go straight.
So I do want to talk about one thing, too. It's like...
Are there Bojangles around?
Oh, so many Bojangles.
Mr. Bojangles.
Battle of the Belts is at the Bojangles Coliseum.
Yep.
All right.
Shout out to Bojangles. Come to Western New York, please.
Now I want some bow rounds and a nice sausage biscuit.
A little bowberry biscuit on the Saturday morning.
Oh, yeah.
You got to start talking about food as we get closer to lunch. But
your fault for all the garlic bread on our minds.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Brian Danielson.
There it is.
There we go. We got it right. And JR's not even there to mess it up. And JR, good luck. He's in the middle of his treatments. He posted some photos from it this week. So hope JR's doing.
Oh, that was the one quick thing. Sorry. DC mentioned the Team Taz thing, which is weird. Taz is such an entertaining commentator. He cracks me up on Dark every week. But how do you go on Dynamite from him being on the mic and all this like Dante Martin, Leo Rush stuff, whatever, to then write to commentary, like cracking jokes and singing along to songs and stuff? Like, are you a heel or are you not a heel? You can kind of get away with that when you're like, when it's a different show, when it's Dark, but like you literally went and sat down at the desk and started whatever song. I'm trying to remember which song he started singing.
He was singing along to Ruby Soho.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which cracks me up, but like, dude, you were a heel like 5 seconds ago. What's going on?
Well, I mean, last night it was him and his partner were doing commentary. He came in, filled in for on Rampage. And we had, yeah, it was interesting is we had very little Tony Schiavone this week. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that, you know, maybe he's out promoting.
He might be in for the SEC championship game, doing some stuff for Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Potentially.
Makes sense. But I did want to mention something about Leo Rush. They're building this up for a huge baby face, with Leo Rush, and especially the way that they dissed him in the interview segment on Dynamite this past week. Because he's out, they come out and he's out and there, and then they just start slamming him about losing Dante and stuff. And Dante comes out and kind of gets in his face a little bit, and it makes Leo Rush look all depressed, you know, at the end of it.
But that right there confuses the hell out of me, because from the way they've been presenting Leo from the beginning, I thought they were presenting him as a heel. Like, he's been doing heelish things, and now we're supposed to feel sympathetic for him 2 weeks later? Like, I don't know. I feel like there's some sloppy creative going on right now.
Well, yeah, Leo Rush also is kind of, I think maybe they held off on plans they wanted to do when he originally showed up a while ago and they got hurt, you know, and so.
I'm just going to fantasy book this real quick. Okay. I really hope Dante Martin's just a plant. And they're to eventually break up Team Taz. And then Dante comes back to Leo once his brother's there. That's my thought.
It's interesting. We just got a message from Dante speaking on the message. He's like, not trying to be a jerk, but why would anyone want to support Leo Rush when the guy is retired from wrestling twice? Well, that also has been used by every other person going against him in a promo, you know? What are you going to do, go home and retire? You know, it's like, it seems like it's the fallback.
It's a valid point.
It's a fallback line. So, you know, but, you know, I think that he wrestles great. He had great matches. And I think we saw a couple weeks ago when he was tagging with Dante, man, what it was, you know, incredible moves he can do. And I mean, he was NXT? No, it wasn't the NXT. It was the Cruiserweight Champion. But what do they call it now? It's supposedly going to get a race this weekend.
Well, it's still the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. I mean, they had the WWE moniker on it before, I think, when he held it, and then it's changed shortly after to the NXT once it was there full time.
Yeah. But. Well, I hear that if Joe Gacy wins it this weekend on War Games, that they're going to get rid of it. Maybe they keep it as another name or something. Maybe it'll be the
bring back the light
all inclusive heavyweight title or something, you know, because they like using.
Because they go with open weight. Oh, wait.
But they funny is they love using the all inclusive whenever he cuts a promo. He uses things like that. And, you know, it's just those keywords they love shooting around. But that's going to change this weekend. That might be one of the results from the NXT War Games match, which. As much as war games are fun, I just don't feel this one was built up at all, accurately or you know, enough to make me care that much about it. And remember, it's going to be on Sunday night. I figured it was just going to be a Tuesday night filler or something, but that is going on this week.
Killed NXT.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you know.
I mean, this is the first at least like weekend pay per view ish. NXT since they destroyed the brand, right?
You're right.
I don't know.
Yeah. So
I've been going through some of the comments in the chat, like just catching up. Like yeah. It was mentioned, like, oh, but we got Dark and Dynamite and Rampage in Rochester. Yeah, but that was one live event. That was one night. That wasn't driving to an arena three or four nights in a row.
That's true. Yeah. Anyway. No, you're right. And so one thing I want to mention, NXT announcer Beth Phoenix from Elmira and Niagara College graduate is stepping down after this weekend's show. She'll be going back to being a mom again, which is, you know, seems it's kind of tough because, you know, she would be not there sometimes when if you ever watch NXT every week, every once in a while, she's not there for a week. And, you know, she is married to Edge and they have two kids together and she's apparently a country music star. I don't know. Maybe her and Mickey James, you know, are, you know, going to do a duet or something. I never knew she was a country music star. So, or in the business, at least I'll have to find some music of hers and play it, you know, and play it as bumper music or something like that. But she is stepping down. She'll be done after this weekend, I think. So, kudos.
Anybody can't stand Taz on commentary. What?
Yeah, I know.
No, Taz is an entertaining commentator. I'll take him over Paul White or Mark Henry.
Mark Henry. Yeah. Mark Henry was good last night though. It was the first time I actually thought
Beth Phoenix. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He at least brings personality.
Mark Henry was good last night.
He's very entertaining. Yeah, it depends on who Taz is working with.
Oh yeah,
Taz. How well it works. But like him and Excalibur, crack me up. Like I don't really necessarily watch Dark every week, but I listen to Dark every week.
Yeah, remember him and Matt Stryker were the SmackDown team for a while, weren't they in WWE? I remember.
I think so.
Taz was with everybody, with Michael Cole, with JR, and with Matt Stryker for a while. So
and speaking of Stryker, like no hate on D'Lo Brown, but I really wish they would give Stryker somebody else.
I will tell you if you saw Impact Wrestling this week, it's probably the best show they've done in a long time. It was a solid show. Just great matchups. Now they've got Morrissey turning on Moose after Moose got pinned by Matt Cardona this past week. You know, and I think, you know, it's setting up some really good stuff and everyone's coming back and healthy and everyone's involved, you know, I mean every star is on that show, so
I can't wait to tune in to Hard to Kill. I really hope Cardona gets the title. Like, obviously, I'm a big fan of his, but that'll be such a huge moment. It'll be unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I really like Moose as a champion, too.
I mean, I like Moose, too. I love Moose, too.
It's refreshing. He's gotten so much better on the microphone. And I do think that I will put myself in this category. Like, I think he's been so underrated in terms of stuff in the ring. Honestly, even before that, specifically his 2CW match in Syracuse with Jay Freddie. Like even before that night, I was like, oh, Moose is really good. Like he's athletic and stuff, but like he can do everything and showing his character side and stuff more too. Like to me, he's, even if this is a quick run, this helps establish himself as like a permanent main eventer, hopefully.
Yeah. And
I've been saying for months that I think Moose is the real deal. I mean, go back to the six-man tag match, I think it was Gallows and Anderson and Omega versus Swan, Moose, and somebody else. Moose looked like a star then. I think he's the real deal. I think he's a big-time world champ, and he's come a long way.
Yeah, he's probably the highest-paid wrestler in that company right now because he was up to leave, and they re-signed him. So I'm guessing they brought him back. He's well worth it. I mean, he's been probably one of the best wrestlers for the past couple of years in that company. And last week he got pinned by Matt Cardona, and then he sold it stunned in the ring. And that's when Morrissey freaking kicked him in the head and just put him out. You know, after Morrissey had been laying on the ground too, it was a really good setup for what they're going to have, a three-way, you know, coming up with, you know, and by the way, I wanted to mention December 18th, Impact is doing the throwback too on Impact Plus and Fight TV. And I don't know if you remember the Impact throwback from a couple of years ago, but it was like, was it Southwest Wrestling? What was that WWE did where they had all the fake wrestlers and everything?
Southwest Southpaw Regional Wrestling.
Southpaw, yeah. This is Impact's version of it. They did a version of it like a couple of years ago, and they're going to be doing a whole special on it on the 18th.
So it'd be a really fun episode.
And they have like their costumes and everything, and it's like you've thrown back to like 1981 Georgia style. So definitely, I was watching it this morning before we started the show. So, and you know, an interesting thing too, and tell me if this is weird or not, Impact Wrestling is releasing a VHS tape in this year. Is announced in the extremely limited collector's edition double cassette VHS of the 2021 Slammiversary pay-per-views being released versus via Shop Impact.
So not weird at all. No. if you're big into the collector game, these things are big. I mean, the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, they did a live show, FWF Live 1, back around WrestleMania this past year. They released that on VHS. And obviously with Cardona's involvement with Impact and GCW, GCW actually put Joey Janela's Spring Break on VHS. He's been big in the merch game with both those companies, him and Brian Myers with Impact, and really stepping their game up in their merch sales. So for me, it's not a shock because I'm heavy into it. So
does anybody have a videotape player, a VHS player?
Those things will never get watched. They'll never be unripped. They'll be sealed and they'll be collector's items.
If somebody wants to buy my old Coliseum videos, I still have a box or two of those. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, as somebody who like I've tried to do some outside the box merch projects for like 2CW and some others this year and stuff. So I think it's kind of fun, but it is weird. But I mean, at the same time, you see like bands putting out like cassette tapes of their new albums and stuff. And it's kind of just for the gimmick and nostalgia and stuff, but
it brings back the nostalgia feel and people love that.
Well, it's funny too, in a week where we get them releasing a VHS, we've also got news, I believe that came out either today or yesterday, that WWE is going to stop releasing DVDs and Blu-rays, with this most recent Survivor Series being the last release they're going to have in the United States. So,
which makes me so sad because I always get the DVD or Blu-ray of the pay-per-views that I've gone to. So knowing that Survivor Series is going to be the last one, it's a little sad.
It is. And well, you know, I've just kind of gone on this Impact run for a while with some of the news. Another thing, Jonah debuted on this past week's show, formerly known as Bronson Reed. And he came out and made his point, talked about how he jumped Josh Alexander at the last pay-per-view, and big fan. I mean, he's a guy who you see him, it's like, why isn't this guy in the WWE still? What the heck? He just got moved up to SmackDown 2 weeks in, they cut him. So, but he's back to going by the name Jonah, and he had his first match this past week, which was a slaughter. And he's going to be a big part of the company for a while. Another person who's kind of moving, Marina Shafir. We talked about her last week because she's the wife of Roderick Strong, who's wrestling in this weekend, defending the cruiserweight title against Joe Gacy, which we mentioned a few minutes ago. But Marina Shafir had made her AEW debut this past week. On AEW Dark tapings from Universal Studios in Orlando. And those ones that they're taping in Orlando are going to kind of be spread out a little bit. So we're not really sure when it's going to be shown, but she's wrestling Chris Stratlander to start off. And we're not really sure when it's going to show, but Shafir, great, a good wrestler and a good MMA fighter as well. You know, and a trainer too. So we'll see what happens. When Shafir shows up. But on the sad note of that, Big Swole announced via social media this past week that her AEW contract will not be renewed. She described the situation as a mutual decision involving her, Tony Khan, and other AEW officials. Swole's last match was AEW was in November when she appeared on AEW Dark. And I think Swole was big in the beginning, and then the women's division got overcrowded, and I think Swole got lost in the mix. And I think it's going to happen to a few women in that company.
Well, and she also had some medical stuff that kind of put her out for a bit. And then I think there was some uncertainty as to like if her condition was going to be good enough basically for her to be able to wrestle consistently or things like that. So I can't say it's a huge surprise at this point. But yeah.
Yeah. So that's some news from, let's see. I just kind of, we're getting to the news portion of the show. I got to make sure I hit everything I wanted to talk about. Yep.
About Davey Richards winning the Opera Cup this past week on MLW. He had a fantastic match with TJ Perkins. And now, unfortunately, it looks like Davey Richards is going to be out of action for a little bit.
Yeah, he got hurt. And it wasn't even in there. He got hurt in an independent that he was working. Russell Cade in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He retained his ASW heavyweight title over Axton Ray, and ever since then, he got hurt. So, and he's supposed to be in Rochester doing like a seminar with UPW Wrestling here, which just opened up their new facilities in the Marketplace Mall this past week.
Actually, I didn't even think about that. He was supposed to wrestle at Excite today in Binghamton, I think. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure he was on that card. So
I know Ethan Page is going to be there in Binghamton today.
Yeah, Davey was definitely on that card for today at the mall down in Binghamton.
Very interesting. So yeah, I just saw that he was hurt. So I don't know what that means for what's going on for the future. Maybe he'll still be able to come and do seminar here in Rochester.
Yeah,
we will see.
And it's only a fractured rib. I mean, it shouldn't put him out of action for too long.
So let's get whipped through some news before we get out of here. This, like I said, I mentioned earlier this weekend, NWA Hard Times 2 is tonight. Main event, Trevor Murdoch, who's a champ, versus Mike Knox. Melina's not the NWA women's champ, right? Is she?
No, Camille's the NWA women's champ.
So we got Camille versus Melina. Tyrus, remember him?
Yeah,
with the Funkadelics, you know.
They referred to Melina as like a living legend or something along those lines, and I was like, really? Like, that's a little bit much.
Yeah, not yet. Maybe if she hadn't been gone for 12 years, you know, maybe. Tyrus is taking on Scion for the NWA TV title with Pope as a special guest referee. This is all going on tonight that you can watch. How can you watch it?
For $25 on Fight TV. And I tell you what, if you want a lot of matches for just $25, you might as well buy this. You're getting 12 matches for $25.
Let me ask you a question too. The next one is Nick Aldis versus Tom Latimer. Is Tom Latimer Charlotte's ex-husband?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Oh. Not to be confused with her new ex-fiance, apparently.
Oh, yeah, apparently she and Andrade split up, apparently. But yeah,
it
she
was
not
mutual.
Not mutual. She was married to Tom Latimer and he was in NXT, I believe. Or
as Bram.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he was in Impact at that point, or
I think he was in NXT before. Then when they broke up, he kind of got cut, and that's when he went to Impact, I think. Or maybe he did. I don't remember now. It was such a long time ago. But nevertheless, she was married to him at one time. And he's taking on Nick Aldis, who's married to, you know who, Mickey James. So very interesting. Latimer was kind of like a monster when he was Bram. He was like brought out as a guy who hurt people. He didn't care. He was a monster. So, and then we got Adonis versus Judas. Is it Judas? And for the NWA National Champion, we got La Rebellion is taking on the end for the NWA tag title. There's a ton of matches. Are you kidding me? I'm looking at this. I'm in the second page of matches. Allison Kay and Marty Bell versus Markova and a partner with Kylie Rae making an appearance on a pay-per-view again, and Tootie Lynn for the NWA women's tag titles. Mike Bennett and Matt Taven versus, and Matt Taven, obviously now we know where he fell out after Ring of Honor or whatever is going on with them, versus Aaron Stevens and Kratos, which is Aaron Stevens, Ms. Dow or whatever you want to call him. You know, lots of names. Mickey James, Kira Hogan for the Impact title, Austin Aries, Rhett Titus in a qualifying match for the junior and NWA. There's so many NWA titles, you know, it's almost like New Japan at times. Colby Carino versus Doug Williams. We got the veteran Doug Williams. Man, I remember I marked out so bad when I met him backstage in Rochester when Impact was in, when TNA was in Rochester for that show. Because Doug Williams was a guy who, like, I knew back from NWA days. He was, you know, and Jack Stain versus Mims. Pre-show, they're going to have a bunch. They're going to have a gauntlet qualifying match for the junior heavyweight championship with Daivari, Alex Taylor, CW Anderson, Darius Lockhart, Homicide, Plunkett, Jeremiah Plunkett, Jamie Stanley, Kerry Morton, Luke Hawks, PJ Hawks, Sal Renaro, and Victor Benjamin. A lot of guys you'll see, as soon as you see, you'll remember them for, as other names. Yeah, $24.99. Starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. You definitely want to check it out. That's going to be cool. And then, of course, Sunday, we have NXT 2.0 War Games. In the main War Game, and I want to mention just for a second, because of the contracts going on with these guys, I kind of had it in the news someplace here, but Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne, and LA Knight versus Bron Baker, Carmelo Hayes, Tony D'Angelo, and Grayson Waller, and the young guys, the young team gets the advantage because they won a match this past week with Bron Baker beating Tommaso Ciampa. Then that's the one War Game with the men, the women's Raquel Gonzalez, Shirai, Kaylee Ray, and Cora Jade versus Dakota Kai, Toxic Attraction, which are the three ladies, of course, Mandy Rose, Dolan, and Jane. And that ought to be fun. Roderick Strong and Joe Gacy for the NXT Cruiserweight. If Joe Gacy wins, he's not a cruiserweight in weight. They're going to probably ditch the belt or do something with it, something interesting. And then we've got for the NXT tag titles, we got Aichner and Barthel versus O'Reilly and Wagner, and Cameron Grimes versus Duke Hudson in a hair versus hair match. And Cameron Grimes already lost most. He looks different now without that nasty, gross beard, you know?
That match there is probably actually one of the more anticipated matches for me. I love Cameron Grimes. They've built up that story with Duke Hudson very well on TV, just from a poker game. That right there is the most compelling matchup to me on that card. Obviously the War Games matches are always a ton of fun. I'm not a big fan of the old versus new, because I mean, LA Knight's relatively new to NXT. So like me, that just doesn't make sense too much. Obviously he's a veteran. But the way that they portrayed Bron Breakker in his previous matchup with Tommaso Ciampa for the championship, having him all of a sudden kind of flip that switch to almost like, I mean, tweener heel, whatever you want to call it, it just didn't make too much sense. Because I think he's still got a relatively good fan base right now, especially the way that they brought him up to make him look like a star.
Yeah. Well, interesting. One thing I want to mention about three of those guys under contract. Excuse me, Kyle O'Reilly is being heavily pushed by WWE to re-sign, and his contract ends at the end of the year. So maybe, you know, we'll see what happens with O'Reilly. He may sign, he may not. If he doesn't sign, you know where he's going, right? And he's got a built-in crew already waiting for him in AEW. Ciampa, on the other hand, they're making his contract extended because of an injury he had in 2019, where they're going to add 7 months doing the same thing they did to Brody Lee when he was trapped in WWE, making him wait out. It's interesting, we've talked about this before, about how Brody Lee said, I can go anytime now, but and then they didn't have anything for him, so he's like, well, I'm going to have the surgery. And then as soon as he had the surgery, they said, okay, we're going to add that time to your contract. And everyone shook their head at that a little bit. So So Ciampa's being held kind of due to 7 more months on his contract. And Johnny Gargano, we talked about it like last week or the week before, they signed an extension to take him through the pay-per-view. They still want to sign him to a long term. He's still up in the air on it right now. We'll see what happens. I don't know if Gargano would be scooped up by AEW if he was free immediately. if WWE is offering him enough, I mean, I would suggest staying. Would you guys have any thoughts on those guys?
I think AEW would take him in a heartbeat.
Oh, you think so?
I think AEW wrestling probably will take too many people, and that's already been shown. And they're overcrowded and stuff, but I think Gargano is a no-brainer for them. And I think there's plenty of people in that company that like him enough that it wouldn't, I don't think there'd be any hesitation whatsoever.
I certainly don't have a problem with it, but I just wonder, you know, it's like, you know, just because of the recent influx of everybody, he's much like a Daniel Bryan, you know, I mean, incredible, talented wrestler, Bryan Danielson, incredible, yeah, talented wrestler. And,
the people I would put in that category, to be honest, like Tony Nese looked really good last night, and he's a wrestler who has, he can do everything in there. Is he somebody that's going to get pushed, or like they made a big deal out of him for him to, you know, challenge Sammy for the TNT title? But where does Tony Nese go from here? And see the next guy to kind of get lost in the shuffle. Nothing against Tony Nese. I like Tony Nese, but like I would take a Gargano in a heartbeat over somebody like him.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because they're all such good talent. Unfortunately, they got misused where they were. And, Tony Nese, yeah, he was there for quite a while. So it's like,
The worst thing that happened to Tony Nese is when they stopped storylining 205. When they first, not that it got watched by anybody, but, when they first started doing 205 Live, it was great. I mean, the amount of actual story that they had to that program made people who did watch it want to be invested in it. Now it's just glorified dark matches. Not even glorified, but they're dark matches, basically.
Yeah, so to move a little bit farther on from, we got just a couple of pieces of news left before we get out of here. And one
shout out to Buddy in the chat who's calling you out on the garlic bread thing.
I saw Buddy, yes, but thank you, Brian, thank you guys all for who are in the chat room listening. And we try to get to your messages. Sometimes you rapid fire them and they just go so fast by, I can't see. Yeah, listen, Dante said, Cash, don't worry about it. JR screws up on TV. You're fine and in good company. thank you. I like Dante. Did I ever tell you that? He's a good soul.
I just
like
the name because I doubt that's his real name, but I appreciate the clerk's reference.
Yeah.
Not right. Even supposed to be here today.
So two pieces of quick news and we'll get out of here. Earlier this month, John Jones, the MMA fighter from Rochester, New York, who lives in, I don't know where, he's out in Arizona now, announced that he'll be competing at the Fury Grappling event December 9th, which would be, I think, 5 days from today in New Jersey against AEW star Jack Hager. Hager took to Twitter to dispute that nothing has been signed to make it official, but John Jones really has done nothing since he relinquished the light heavyweight title in UFC, except for the fact that he's not, not a great guy, you know. I mean, his wife, there was a big brouhaha about him possibly backhanding his wife or something like that a few weeks ago, and the security was called, and his wife had a bloody lip, and it wasn't, you know, and they all kind of pushed it under the rug, and he loves her very much, as he says all the time now, because, but nevertheless, he's not a great guy, not a good person. And then he said he's taking on Jake Hager from AEW this week. So we'll see what happens. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But John Jones has really been doing nothing. He's trying to build up to the heavyweight division, and Jake Hager is an undefeated heavyweight MMA fighter. So we'll see where that goes. And if you're a fan of Trish Stratus and you don't have a restraining order against you, she is going to be at the Coca-Cola Coliseum in Toronto, December 29th. WWE always has like a holiday show up in the Toronto area around this week, and it's been a couple years, and she'll be appearing for that night and one night only. Trish made the announcement on our website that this will be a Raw live event. It's the 29th of December, Wednesday night. She's going to be up there. And Rob, I think you probably could get close enough. They won't arrest you or anything.
It's such a pain to get over the border right now anyway that I've made enough trips to that Coliseum. I'm good for now.
You're good.
I appreciate the heads up.
So the offer to still do yoga with her, is that still on the table?
I bet you
back hurts a lot more than whenever that was 15 years ago or something. So like, let's go.
I bet you if I contacted her, she would remember it, because she seems to have a steel trap for a memory, seriously. And I wouldn't, we all get there and do some yoga, get some, make it a, like a, a PR opportunity. We'll get cameras to take pictures of us all doing like the downward dog with her or something. And don't take that incorrectly, okay? You know,
how are you supposed to take that?
it's just a yoga thing. So,
side note, not to get too off track, but Dante, man, I'm looking at you in the chat. I'm sorry, people suck. I'm sorry, people suck.
People suck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh, I just read that too. Yeah, that's terrible. So, man, you know what? I got one last piece of news before we go, and it's just a little bit of an opinion type of thing. But The Rock came out this past week and made his Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling. Maybe one day we ought to spend a show on doing that. But Rock responded to a Fight TV question that asked fans who would be on their Mount Rushmore, the Great One or The Rock or Dwayne Johnson, whatever you want to call him, named WWE Hall of Famers Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, and Ric Flair, and then a three-way tie in the fourth spot with Undertaker, Jackie Fargo, and WWE Hall of Famer.
You can't – no, like, as an indecisive person, you can't – like, Mount Rushmore, I've been there. I didn't see, like – oh, there's like three the presidents interchangeable that were tied head. For that fourth spot. No, pick one. You have to pick. You don't get to tie.
Well, the third tie, the last person was WWE Hall of Famer Pat Patterson. So that's he also said WWE Hall of Famer Dusty Rhodes would be on the back of the mountain dropping elbows. So, yeah, it's interesting. The Rock still, you know, as much as he's so busy doing other things like being, I don't know, Black Adam and, you know, being in all these other movies, still has still watches wrestling. Follows it. Remember when he was following Kevin Owens in Ring of Honor and he used to text at him or tweet at him and everything. So, I mean, he's still a fan of the biz and, everyone has their opinion. We could give our opinions on our Mount Rushmore. I've always tried to stay away from that because I've seen in local sports talk radio, all the controversy that happens when you start trying to name four people who you represent a sport or four people who represent anything, you know, and there's always people who will argue one side or the other. So who knows? But on that note, we are done for the week. I want to thank you, Ferbs. Thank you. I was going to thank you, Danger Boy, because I know he's out there someplace, but Danger is having issues getting in. Thank you, DC Dan Cole. Thank you, the artiste. And is there anything else we want to plug before we get out of here? Is anything going on this week that we should tell people about? I know next weekend's going to be a busy weekend. Maybe Every Time I Die is going to have a show and a wrestling show in Buffalo next week. And we get to see the...
Could be really good if it happens. I don't know.
Yeah. So how about you, Ferbs? Anything going on?
I mean, the only thing this week, I mean, if there's still GA tickets available and you want to take a 2 hour and 45 minute drive to Binghamton, check out some Excite Wrestling. Other than that, I don't think there's anything else going on.
It was supposed to be Davey Richards and Jay Freddie, and would have liked to have seen that. But
yeah, I would have really liked to have seen Ethan Page. I haven't really seen him wrestle he didn't even wrestle when he was in Rochester. He just did the promo, I think. But I think that's all I got for this week.
And DC,
I'll probably check out some of the GCW stream tonight from Dallas. I know at least I didn't see any last nights from Houston, but Ash is down there running those live streams. So there's a Thunder Rosa and Alley Catch tonight. Some other stuff on that one. Fuego del Sol.
I know Bandito was there.
Yeah. So check some of that out. I don't know.
Oh yeah. And then next weekend we have Ring of Honor's final show that we're definitely going to have to talk about, I guess, a bit, at least preview it. Speaking of Bandito, champion of Ring of Honor right now. So, in DC.
I really wish I could. Well, maybe I can watch that show live after all. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I'd be very shocked if Jonathan Gresham's not your champion by the end of that show. Depending on whether the rumors from this past week are true. He was rumored to be at AEW backstage this past week. So, who knows?
Well, remember they said.
I would love to see him be one of the people that like has the freedom to work a few different places at once kind of thing, like a Cardona type or whatever, like let him, there's plenty of stuff that he could do in Impact and AEW and everything. He doesn't need to be just on one. I think with him, he's somebody that I don't need him in a program on one of these shows. I have like a list of matches that I want to see him in these different places. So
he's so good. I've been fortunate to see him at GCW, I think a couple times, and he's just, and I saw him actually in New Jersey at the IW or IWTV 100 show. He's just so incredible.
If you're down,
just give me Gresham versus Brian Danielson.
If you're down near Hicksville, Long Island this week on December 9th from 5 to 8 p.m., Cardona and Brian Myers are doing a toy drive to create a pro wrestler academy. So you definitely want to check that out. Hicksville, Long Island. Thank you, Dante, for that information. Everybody, anybody, anything else? It looks like we're pretty much done. I want to thank everybody for listening. And like I said, next week we'll be looking at Ring of Honor a bit closer because it's probably their last hurrah. It could be, you know, I mean, that's what we're, the feeling we're getting. And as well as ETID.
Even Bobby Cruz put on Facebook like this morning that like he wonders if next Saturday is the last time he ever holds a microphone.
There's the lightsaber. So. The lightsaber showed up. If you're watching on Facebook
with
Live.
This long, hard thing in between my legs for the whole show, I'm glad we're finally getting to move on.
It's blue, too.
That
so
sounds like
take a look.
Personal problem.
It's blue. Guys, thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody. And thank you so much for viewing. And we appreciate it. We will. And next week, we will. I think we'll be live next week. Next week's going to be the 11th. That's fine. It's when we get to the 18th, the 27th, or 18th, 24th, and or 18th, 25th, and first of the year that we might be on Friday night. So we'll let you know.
We'll have to do a special show where we name our top 10 people on Mount Rushmore.
Our special round.
Imagine being the guy that's got to like chisel it out and shows
oh,
up.
Oh man,
like,
what,
right, so what four am I chiseling? Well, we got a three-way tie for this one, and then on
and
the
you
back,
make this one look like this person.
You know what
you
should do? We should.
Way,
we should.
Then it looks like somebody else when you look at it another way.
We should have the Pain Clinic totem pole, and then we'll just like.
The totem pole of professional wrestling.
It's, yeah, we don't need Mount Rushmore. We got a totem pole. So, guys, thanks so much. Have a great week, and we'll see you at the same bat time, same bat channel next week.